And we return once more to John's Gospel. We read this evening John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. John brings us in his account of the Lord Jesus, he brings us to the Feast of Dedication. Now, this is probably a couple of months after the discussion that took place in the first part of John chapter 10. Jesus, we discover 2 months on, Jesus is still discussing the same theme, shepherd and sheep. And of course, we know that John, in giving his account, is being selective. He tells us that right at the end of his gospel. And the fact that John continues to record some of the things that Jesus has to say about shepherds and sheep alerts us to the fact that this is something that's significant. Also, in John's gospel account, this is Jesus' last act of public ministry. And so it's presented to us as a kind of an opportunity to gauge what has been the response to the 3 or so years of public ministry that Jesus has exercised. How may we gauge the response of people who have been hearing him? I want you to listen. God's word, as we hear it, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that we might be of a better spirit than those of whom we have just read, that we would receive your word with gladness and delight. And our Father, because the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, we ask that we might hear and be reassured by the voice of our shepherd this night. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's holiday time in Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Hanukkah, and it's the celebrating really the last great deliverance the Jews have experienced. It's celebrating the occasion in 164 BC when the temple was reconsecrated after having been defiled by the invaders. And so it represents a kind of spiritual independence day for the people of Israel. But of course, if it's a spiritual independence day, it's not a hot, sweltering July day of the kind that we associate with Independence Day. John tells us it was winter. And Jesus is in the temple. It's round about mid-December, round about this time of year, actually. And Jesus is in the temple. John tells us that he's in Solomon's colonnade. It's an area of the temple that was covered over. So if it's wintertime, it's perhaps not surprising that Jesus is undercover. He's in a sheltered place. And probably the colonnade of Solomon, as best as the scholars know, was a place where the scribes would have held their classes. So there are probably a lot of people there. And as Jesus goes along on that occasion, Jesus is accosted by a flash mob. And suddenly there's a crowd all around him, and their request is, "Speak to us plainly. Speak plainly to us." And Jesus speaks plainly again. And as he does so, John underscores something that he's been telling us throughout John chapter 10. The sheep hear and recognize the voice of the shepherd. Those who are not the sheep do not hear and do not recognize the voice of the shepherd. The sheep, in contrast, hear Jesus speaking plainly. And in our few verses tonight, we we hear Jesus speaking plainly, and Jesus' plain speech is speech that irritates. It's a speech that actually divides, and it's speech that reassures, all at the same time. So those are three things that we want to see in our verses. And first of all, we see that Jesus' speech is speech that irritates. He speaks plainly, but his plain speech is irritating to some of those who are his hearers. And that we see in verses 22 through 24 as this crowd gathers around Jesus. And we have a sense of Jesus almost being ambushed by them. And their words, their tone of voice, their body language communicate annoyance toward the Lord Jesus. They gathered around him, John says. This is a rather menacing, intimidating crowd who demonstrate hostility to Jesus and the things that he's been saying. Jesus is being ambushed, he's being ganged up on by people who are not sympathetic to him. And if you've ever found yourself in that kind of situation where you feel ganged up on because you're a Christian, or made fun of because you're a Christian, if you've sensed at any time that you're surrounded by people who are unsympathetic toward you, Jesus knows exactly what that feels like. Jesus understands what it's like to be accosted by people who are unsympathetic, and he's well able to comfort you and me should we ever find ourselves in those kinds of situations. That was Paul's experience, wasn't it, when, well, as he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he made his first trial appearance, there was no one there to stand by him. But, says Paul, the Lord himself stood by me and strengthened me. And that's great. The Savior who knows what it's like to be surrounded by a hostile, antagonistic people was a comforter to Paul. He's a comforter to you and me as well. And this crowd speaking to Jesus, they're speaking impatiently to him. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. That this is impatient, irritated speech, and we sense their irritation. They use actually a kind of idiomatic expression. It figures literally. It's why do you take away our life? And someone has said why do you keep plaguing us? Why do you keep annoying us with the things that you say? You're spoiling our happiness. That's kind of the sentiment. Jesus' speech irritates them because it kind of goads them. And as we are Jesus' witnesses, we're going to encounter that kind of reaction where people are irritated because, well, in one way or another, we're spoiling their happiness. And maybe you know what it's like to be plagued by Jesus and to have your happiness spoiled by Jesus. That we're talking in the adult Sunday school class about the idea of being awakened, where it's that concept of a growing spiritual sensitivity, and often that comes in the form of being irritated by Jesus as we sense Jesus kind of cutting across the way we're acting or the way we're living. It's the kind of experience maybe that someone like Agrippa had when Paul spoke to him, and Agrippa responds with irritation. Paul, would you persuade me to be a Christian in such a short time? And there's that response of irritation because, well, we have a strong sense that Agrippa is actually being, his conscience is being pricked. And of course, Saul of Tarsus himself, Jesus saying, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. And we have a sense of how Saul was, Jesus, whom he was persecuting so vehemently, had somehow got under his skin. And that was an indication of the Holy Spirit at work. The Pharisees that we met earlier at the end of, at the end of chapter 9, who respond with irritation to Jesus, are we also blind? You saying that we're blind? And, you know, sometimes people react with irritation to us as Christians because Jesus is at work in their lives, or because they're irritated by Jesus. So if that's the case, don't take it too personally. If some of your friends get prickly around you, maybe during this Christmas season where these things tend to come to the surface, it's Jesus is an irritant And here are people who are reacting with irritation because of Jesus and his words. And then going on, that Jesus' speech, not only does it irritate, it actually divides. In verses 25 through 27, we have that. They say to Jesus, if you're the Savior, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus responds in verse 25, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you're not among my sheep. And Jesus says, the words that I told you who I am. I've identified myself as the Christ, and you do not believe. Jesus has said and done enough. There is enough evidence in Scripture to be able to demonstrate clearly who Jesus is. And John reminds us of that at the end of his gospel. He says, Jesus did many, many other things in addition to what are recorded, but these things are recorded that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, that you may believe in him, and believing have life in his name. There is enough information given to identify Jesus as who he is. But there's a second part to Jesus' answer. Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. That's verse 26. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and they recognize it. And as Jesus says that, we're brought face to face with the mystery of God's electing grace. The true sheep are recognized by their response to the Savior's voice. They're recognized by how they respond, by their positive response to Jesus' voice. Jesus speaks of my sheep. And Jesus' sheep are ones that were dead in their trespasses, but now by God's grace have been made alive. And we get caught up in these discussions about human responsibility and divine sovereignty, but that's the wrong question. The right question is simply, can you hear the shepherd's voice? When you read the Scripture, when you hear God's word preached, do you hear, do you recognize the shepherd's voice? And Richard Phillips, writing on these about these verses, identifies gives two tests. There's the faith of the ear. The ears of the unconverted, says Phillips, are dead to Christ's voice, but the ears of his sheep hear and believe. There's the faith of the ear, and then Phillips says there's also the faith of the foot, because Jesus tells us that those who hear his voice follow him. That's the sign that they've got good hearing. They follow. And Philip says, this is where your claim to faith is tested. You say you believe in Christ, then are you following him? That's the sign of the ability to hear Jesus' voice. We follow him. And then the last thing I want to show you is Jesus' plain speech is speech that assures. It's reassuring speech. And listen to verses 28 through 30. And these are precious words. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. These sheep, these ones who hear, these ones who follow, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And Bishop Ryle says these are expressions that should be treasured up in the memories of true Christians. They will be found cheering and heart-strengthening in times of faith. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, you hear Jesus speak words like this and you say, ah, this is great. I am in the grip of my Savior. I'm in the grip of my Heavenly Father. Because, see, these are words that point us away from our weakness. They're words that point us away from our aptitude for straying. They're words that point us away from our ability to get into trouble. They're words that point us to the fact that we have a God who holds firmly onto his people. That's a very precious thing. A couple of weeks ago at Roland Boker's memorial service, we were thinking about that. Psalm 121 that speaks of the Lord as our keeper. And then Jesus' words speaking of the firm grip that he has on those who are his own loved ones. And that comforts the hearts of God's sheep. Those are words of reassurance for the sheep. Jesus gives us eternal life. No one can snatch us away. And the language is the language of violence. Remember, Jesus is surrounded by this rather antagonistic crowd that is menacing. This is a kind of violent situation. Jesus says, in the face of violence, no one can snatch you out of my hand or my Father's hand. There's that idea of the violence is deflected. The sheep is secure. No one is able to snatch them. Not just that no one will snatch, but no one is able to snatch because the Heavenly Father is powerful. And in verse 29, Jesus says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And that little phrase, greater than all, it's a little bit of, in the Greek, that phrase is a little bit of an enigma because it's not quite sure what is greater than all. It might be, as the ESV translates it, it might be that the Heavenly Father is greater than all, or it might be that what the Heavenly Father is holding on to is more precious than anything else in the world. And that's us, because we're bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And our Heavenly Father holds us fast because we have been bought with such a price. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. It's at that point they took up stones to stone him because they recognized Jesus identifying himself with God. And we hear that and we say, amen. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for words that speak directly to the hearts of the sheep. And as we hear your word tonight, our hearts are comforted because Jesus assures us that in the face of menace, in the face of threats, in the face of violence, those who hear and follow the Savior are kept safe by the firm, sovereign hand of a loving Heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.